Appreciate our choir. King of kings and Lord of lords. We have a lot to praise him for and to give him glory for. This morning I want us to turn to John chapter 1, if we could. And let's read from that passage, that famous passage, the first chapter of John. One of my favorite passages. In fact, I learned several scriptures as a child. And for some reason, being a pastor's son, I spent a lot of time in Bible drills at the church. You either memorized scripture or you learned where scripture was, and you kind of stood in a line, and they would call out the scripture, and you'd race to kind of see who could get to that passage first. Anybody ever been in a Bible drill? Some of you have. That's right. Well, that was a lot of fun back then. But you know, back in the day, I didn't realize it, but I was packing that scripture in my mind. And God was using that to teach me his ways. And one of the ways that one of the passages or a lot of the scripture in this passage of scripture was part of that memorization process. And there's a lot of depth and a lot of theology in this passage of scripture that I want to share with you today. It's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. And we're going to read it in a moment. You know, when I was a kid, actually a teenager, my dad went back into the Army. And he became a chaplain in the Army. I was in the ninth grade when he went in. And so right after he went in, he had a lot of training to go through. Part of it was in New York. We couldn't go with him. And then we spent a year in El Paso together. And then immediately after that, he was stationed in Vietnam for a year. And that was my sophomore and junior year of high school. It was kind of encapsulated both those years. You know, being a teenage boy with a mom at home in charge, you know, I thought I could get by with a few things, but I found out pretty soon that my mom could have a pretty heavy hand, like my dad could too, you know, and everything. But I would argue with her, and you know, she was at home, and she had two boys and a girl. Now, the girl, my sister Judy, was an angel, and she still is, and everybody likes her, you know, and everything. But you know, we try to get away with a few things. And I'd argue with my mom and try to get my way sometimes. And you know, it'd get to be a certain point, you could hear that tone in her voice when she was done. She was not arguing anymore. You know, that was it. This is the way it's going to be. And that's the way it was. You ever have a mom like that? Amen. All right. Well, one of her phrases that she used to me and to my brothers was, when you get older, you will see things in a new light or a different light. You know, and I thought, yeah, sure, Mom, yeah. And then I got a teenager, you know, in my home, and I realized that I was wanting to say the same thing to them. When you get older, you're going to see things in a new light. I found out that it was not as easy as it looked back then. And now my kids have kids, and they're not teenagers yet, but I just see them, you know, having the struggles that they have, and I'm sitting here going, smiling, you know, and saying, yeah, I told you, you know. And so, you know, there's some joy in seeing them go through some of the struggles that, you know, that we went through. But hopefully everything will go well, and they'll be using phrases like, when you get older, you'll see things in a new light. Well, today's sermon is called In a New Light. And you know what? Maybe not in physical terms, but in spiritual terms, Jesus comes and he shares a new light. And we're going to read this passage, then we're going to break it down, and we're going to talk about what it says to our lives today. So, let's start in verse 1, John chapter 1, 1 through 13, 13 verses. Let's read it together. In the beginning was the Word being Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God. He was God. He was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. So this tells us that Jesus was there with God. If there was a beginning, which there isn't, God has always been here. But Jesus is God, and because he is deity, he was there as part of the Trinity in the creation process at the beginning of time, and there was nothing made that was not made by the Godhead, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, it talks about someone who was telling about the light. That's John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to everyone that was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of husband's will, but born of God. May God bless the reading and the understanding of his word today. Now I want to unpack this a little bit because this is a very important passage, because it's talking about the light of Jesus Christ. And it's talking about what the light does. In fact, the very first thing that happens in the Bible is God begins creation. And the first thing that he says is, "Let there be light." And there was light. And then he said, "It is good." And so we have the idea of light right off in the offset of the scriptures. What God created, what we know is light. In fact, I can hardly see you right now because of these lights shining in my eyes. But you know, we have a natural light outside, the sun and the reflection on the moon, and we have the light that God created. And then he's using this illustration of the light to point out some important truths about himself and about us. Because he uses light and darkness to illustrate both his holiness and his perfection. And then he uses darkness to illustrate our condition, in our sinful condition that we are in as people. And so we have the contrast, the picture of light and darkness. And God is using these two to describe himself and to describe the darkness of the world, which manifests itself in our lives through the sin that we continually do and that we continually harbor in our lives. Now, one thing that I found from this passage is found in verse 4 of it, where it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness," or "shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That is the way I learned it in Bible drill and way back. That's the King James version of that verse. It says, "The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The first point I want to make today is light confounds darkness. Darkness can't understand light. I look back at the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those who were there in power in that day. And Jesus came and he began to teach a new way of living, a new thought process in the spiritual kingdom, where they were living on their good works to make them fit for God. Jesus came and he said, That is not the way that you get to God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And later on, he's going to talk about how that's going to happen. He talked to his disciples about how he's going to go to the cross, how he's going to die, and his blood is going to be shed. And on that cross, all the sins of man are going to be placed on that cross. And when we trust and believe in him, then we are made right with God. It's not by our works. It's not by the good deeds we do. And Jesus was saying that darkness can't comprehend that. The religious leaders of the day, they weren't ready to hear that. And I wonder what keeps a person from seeing their need of Jesus. Why can't, you know, when we go out witnessing, we used to have a faith program here, and we would go out witnessing, and we would tell people about Jesus Christ and the fact that he died on the cross. And it was just like when you went to some people, it was just like there were blinders on. They could not see the truth. And you wonder why that they can't understand. And the Bible talks about something called a darkened heart, you know, where the light is not penetrating that heart. In fact, the Bible says he was in the world, and though the world was made by him, the world didn't recognize him. They didn't see him as the Savior of the world. It says he came to his own, and his own received him not. Even the Jews could not see Jesus for who he was. There's a verse in Ephesians 4:18 that I want you to read with me. It says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. That is a sad condition to be in when a person's heart is hardened. And I wonder how it gets that way, where they cannot see the truth of Jesus Christ. I was thinking about that this week, and you know, there are so many things that we deal with and we struggle with in our lives here today. I don't care if you're a Christian or not a Christian here today, we still struggle with some things. And I thought about pride and pleasure and power and position and things of that nature. You know, pride says, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm not going to do it any other way but my way. And Jesus says, I am the way. And so when we refuse to do it his way, then that's a prideful attitude. And then pleasure says, I don't want to live by any boundaries. I want to live my way, and I want to experience life in the fullest according to the world standards. I want to have all the pleasure and all the things of this world, and I don't want to have to be restricted by God. Another is power. I don't want to give up control of my life or what I have. And so all these things are the way that many people look at the world. In fact, these are things that are apparent in a person's life when he lives for the kingdom of this world. But Jesus is a light from another kingdom. And he teaches us a different way of living, where not only is his way paramount in our lives, but also others count more than we do in our lives. We love others more than we love ourselves, which is a very difficult thing to do. And most people, or a lot of people, don't want to live that way. And so they refuse to let God have his way in their lives. And the Bible says that God, after a period of time of striving with man, will no longer strive with that person and will darken possibly their hearts. That's what happened in the Pharisees and the Sadducees' life. They continually warred against Jesus. They continually were seeking to destroy him and his ways. And God hardened their hearts. They were never able to see the truth of Jesus Christ and that he was the Savior. Jesus is light from another kingdom. He teaches another way. So light confounds the darkness. Darkness cannot understand the ways of Jesus. But not only does light confound darkness, light exposes the darkness. Think about John the Baptist. The very first, one of the first verses that we read is verse 8 here about him. It said, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. You know, I was thinking about that. You know, that's sort of a comparison of John the Baptist to Jesus. And it's saying that no one but Jesus is God. And the Bible says that John the Baptist was not the light. And there were a lot of people that were taken in and followed John the Baptist. And it actually got in the way of them following Jesus sometimes. And you know, the thing about it is, man tends to compare himself to others instead of the standard that God set in Jesus Christ. Because there is a standard that God sets. And that standard is perfection. And you know, when we live our lives, we tend to look around and we'll say, well, oh, Joe or Bill or Sam or, you know, they're pretty sorry dudes. And, you know, compared to them, you know, I live better than them. I treat my neighbors right, and I do this. I give to charity. I even give to my church. I attend church just about every Sunday. Man, I'm a pretty good guy. And so we tend to compare ourselves to other people, and we don't see the darkness and the sin that is in our own life, and we don't allow God's light, the light of Jesus, to shine into our hearts and expose the darkness that's there. We tend to compare ourselves to others while God compares us to Jesus. Now, I used to walk down the halls of the church here, and there was a guy named Chuck Beam here. Anybody remember Chuck Beam? Yeah, he was here just not long ago, and Chuck used to pass me, and he'd say, you know, Mike, compared to Jesus, you stink. And I'd say, yeah, that's right. Compared to Jesus, I stink. You know, because when the light of Jesus shines in my life, it shows me for who I am. And I don't care who we are in this room, we're all sinners. In fact, it's arrogant to think that we can set the standard for the way we're going to be judged. You know, God is God. He's sovereign. He created us. He made us. And He owns everything that is in this world. And He set the standard. And that standard is the holiness, the perfection, the light of Jesus Christ. And when we set the standard of other people, we're saying that the standard is darkness. Because when we look into other people's lives, we're looking at darkness. Just like when we look at our own lives, we're looking at darkness. And we're setting a far lower standard that we're going to be judged by than what God sets. Because God sets the highest standard, the standard of Jesus Christ. In this passage, God in His sovereign declares that the standard by which we will be judged is a new light, a light that shines on our lives and shows us that we are sinners and that we're in need of salvation. We're in need of Jesus Christ in our lives. So there is a higher standard, and that standard of light is Jesus. And when God's Holy Spirit comes in and opens our mind to this concept and shines the light in, we begin to see ourselves as God sees us, the sinners that we are. In other words, the light of Christ illuminates and it exposes our sin. Scripture says in Ephesians 5, 13 and 14, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look at the first part of that verse. And we're going to come back to this later on. But it says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And there is nothing hidden in our lives to God. God knows everything about us. And when He begins to shine that light of Jesus Christ into our lives, we begin to see the truth of who we are. Compared to Jesus, we stink. Now, the Bible says in three places. It says in Romans 3:12, Psalm 53:3, and Psalm 14:3, it says, all have turned away. They have together become worthless, and there is no one good who does good, not even one. There's not a single person in this room that has done it all right, that hasn't sinned. Only Jesus Christ is the sinless servant, the sinless Lamb of God. And the Bible says no one is good on their own, apart from Him. It's kind of like this, and I'm going to laugh about this in a minute, but you're on a vacation. And so you're going out maybe to California, to Disney World. And you know, there's a long stretch of road out there as you're driving along that there's not much out there. It's kind of desert, and you know, you get out there, and you're driving along, and it's late in the day, and you're looking for a place to stay at night, and so you see this old hotel. It's the only one on the road. And so outside, the lights are on, and it looks really good. And so you go up, and you pay for the room, and you go to the room. It's not one of those that you got to climb up the stairs on the outside, you know. It's not one of those good hotels, you know. And so you get in the room, and everything looks pretty good in there. You know, you look around, and then you go over by the bed, and you flip that little lamp on by the bed, and all of a sudden, it exposes those stains on the bedspread. And then you go to the main light, and you turn it on, and there's a roach in the corner. And you begin to see all the flaws of the room. And Brother Greg, I was telling him that illustration this week. He said, "What kind of hotels are you staying in?" Anyway, but you know, that's the way light is. When Jesus shines his light in our lives, you know, we may be hiding a lot of little roaches or a lot of little things in our lives that aren't supposed to be there. And until the light of Jesus is shown in our lives, we can't see, or we refuse to see those things. But when the light of Jesus shows in our lives, you can't help but see those things. Because light exposes darkness. And there's darkness in every one of us. Not only does light confound the darkness, they can't understand Jesus. And not only does it expose darkness, but it also convicts our darkness. Scripture says in verse 9 of this passage, the true light gives light to everyone who is coming into the world. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes and shines the light of Jesus in our lives, he begins to reveal the truth of who he is. And we see him for who he is. When a person is to come to Christ, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit begins a work in us. And does God give everyone the opportunity to receive the light of Jesus Christ? Well, Scripture bears it out that he does. In fact, in that passage, the next slide, I've got some little underlined stuff. It says, the true light that gives the light to who? To everyone. Okay, everyone who was coming into the world, who has come into the world, has had an opportunity to see the light and to see Jesus and to be convicted of their sin. You see, the Spirit shines the light and opens a person's understanding of the truth and his spiritual condition. So what about the person who's never been exposed to the teachings of Christ? Maybe in deepest, darkest Africa, there's a tribe that has never had a Bible. Someone has never gone there to tell them about Jesus. Do they have an opportunity to know the truth? Well, let me share a couple of scriptures with you that I believe bears out that it is true that God is fair in the way he judges everyone. Romans 1, 18 through 20, if you'd like to turn there. Romans 1, 2 verses, 18 through 20. Three verses. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Even the sinners, even those who are living against God, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Several years ago, I went to an evangelism conference. We used to have those in Fort Worth a long time ago. And it was back in the... Anybody ever heard of the preacher Adrian Rogers? Man, Adrian Rogers is like my hero, man. He's a great preacher. He's passed on. He's with the Lord now. But you can still hear his messages a lot of times on the radio. And, man, they're dynamite. He's a great preacher, and his legacy lives on. But at this evangelism conference, Adrian Rogers preached a message on this passage of Scripture, and it has stuck with me all these years. And he said that where a little light is received, more light will be given. And this passage bears that out. It says, for the invisible things of God, where that little light, visible things of God, of him from creation of the world, are clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that people, they are without excuse. You know, the Bible says that the very heavens declare the glory of God. When you walked out this morning and you saw the beautiful sky and you saw the trees and you saw the grass and you felt that cool air this morning, that beautiful fall morning, this morning, you saw the glory of God this morning. Those invisible things that declare that there is a creator, that someone made this world. It doesn't just work on its own. It just didn't explode into being. I am not from an ape. These things declare the glory of God, and they declare that there is someone greater than us. And it says, where a little light is received, more light will be given. It says, so they are without excuse. So, how does this bear out? Well, Ephesians 5, 13, and 14 says it like this. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So he's talking to the lost person, the sleeper, the one who maybe is dead in Christ, but he's saying, wake up. Look around. See the glory of God. And when you receive that light that is given you, it says Christ will shine on you. God will give more light. He will allow you to understand the truth. In fact, Brother Greg shared a story with me about a deepest, darkest tribe in Africa. And this tribe had never seen or heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, there was a missionary that went to see them and began to share the story of Christ to this tribe. And they said, we know him. We don't know his name. We don't know who he is, but we know of him. Now, how did they know of him? Because God saw that they saw creation and they saw the beauty and they saw the glory of God. And God somehow got the truth to them. It says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead and see the light that's given you, and Christ will shine on you. God will get the word to you some way when you receive the light that's given to you. And so the Bible says we are all without excuse. Not only does light confound the darkness and expose the darkness and convict the darkness, but it also expels the darkness. The Bible says, and this is my memory verses from my days as a kid. I love these verses, and I learned it in the King James, and that's not this, but it's still the same truth. It says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Now we're talking about the second birth here. We're talking about being reborn, born again. You've heard that phrase so many times. I'm born again. Well, you know, yes, we're all born once into this world in the physical nature, or you wouldn't be here, born to your mother and father. But Jesus is the author of rebirth. Jesus is talking about a different kind of birth, a birth into the spiritual kingdom. And it says when we come to God through Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the Spirit quickens our spirit. In other words, we are dead in our sins. Our spirits are dead. We're not communicating with God. We're separated from Him in our sin. We live in darkness. But when the Spirit begins to shine the light of Jesus Christ into our life, and we begin to see the truth of who we are, and we see the light of Christ and what He did for us on the cross, and we believe and we trust in Him, the Bible says that the Spirit comes and makes our spirit alive. And if we're going to worship God, we worship Him in truth and in spirit. And that's the way that we communicate. We pray in the Spirit. We worship in the Spirit. It is a different kingdom. It's not the kingdom of this world. It's not the physical. It's the spiritual. And we are created in God's image as spiritual beings. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And without the Spirit being alive, we're not able to connect or to communicate or to have a relationship with God, because we relate to Him on the spiritual level. And so when Jesus comes into our hearts and our lives, when we receive Him and we trust in Him, He brings our spirit to life. The Bible says He quickens us. And He brings us to life and allows our spirit to communicate and connect with the God that created us for that purpose. God created us to have a relationship with Him. And it's done on the spiritual level. And until our spirits are made alive, we cannot communicate and connect with God. And so the Bible says, when we receive Him and believe on His name, He gave us the right to become the children of God. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. Makes me excited. You know, when I was 8 years old, God began to work on my heart. Even before that, through my Sunday school teachers and through other people in my life, my mom and dad. My dad was a pastor. I can't tell you how many sermons I listened to of his, you know, and I thought were boring. But somehow God was working on my heart, was working on my life, showing me that I was a sinner. And at 8 years old, I hadn't killed anybody yet. I hadn't done any major crimes. But I knew that there was sin in my life. I don't know how I knew that. Well, I do know how I knew that. Because the light of Jesus was shining in on my heart and was convicting me of my darkness, my sinful condition. And I knew that I needed a Savior. On a Sunday night, my dad led me in a prayer after the evening worship, after the sermon. And that night, God expelled the darkness. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't struggle with darkness anymore. But I don't live in darkness anymore because of what Jesus did in my life. And no one has to live in darkness, because God made a way in Jesus Christ for the darkness to be dealt with in our lives, the sin to be dealt with. And when we believe in His name, then God grants us forgiveness. Now, what does it mean to believe in the name of Jesus? Well, a lot of people have a head belief about Jesus. They say, yeah, there is a God. He might have even created everything there is. I believe there's a God. That's a head knowledge. But to believe in the name of Jesus means that I trust Him. That I put my life in His hands. That I rely on Him. That my hope is found in Jesus Christ and nowhere else. It's kind of like this stool. You know, I've been sitting on this stool the whole time here. You know, and it's a good stool, you know. And I'm kind of a heavy guy. I didn't know if y'all knew that. But, you know, put this stool here and I look at it and I say, yeah, that's a good stool. I believe that's a good stool. I actually believe it would hold my weight, you know. And so I walk around it and I look at it and I believe that's a head knowledge, okay. I believe that's a stool and it will do the job it's meant to do. But it doesn't do its job for me until I sit on it and I rest in it. I trust it. Okay? That's the difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. You see, I can believe that Jesus died on the cross with my head. I can know all the facts. But until I believe on his name, until I sit and I rest in him, then I haven't experienced the quickening of my spirit, the light of Jesus Christ in my life. I trust, I rely, I rest in Jesus. And you know what? When you rest in Jesus, he gives abundant life. He gives heaven. He gives all his promises. The Bible says you can cast your cares on him because he cares for you. There is so much in Jesus when we just sit and we rest in him. That is what it means to believe in the name of Jesus. When I was 8 years old, I believed in the name of Jesus. Now, there have been times when I haven't been faithful, but I'll tell you, there's never been a time when God hadn't been faithful in my life, because I'm resting in him. And one of these days, when he calls me home, I'm going to rest in him eternally, because he's promised that. Okay? Now, we trust and we rely, we put our hope in Jesus Christ. The light comes in, shines, exposes our sin, and we see ourselves as we are compared to Jesus. We come to the place in our life where we realize that we are lost, bound for hell. Without him, we're nothing. And we place our faith, we rely, we trust in him. And he says he gives us the right to become the children of God. And at that time, we're born again, not of the natural descent, not of human decision, not of the husband's will, but born of God. That excites me right there. Now, what happens when a person comes to Christ? When he comes to Christ and he's born of God, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That light helps us to see life in a different way. You know, back when I was a teenager, my mom would say, "You know, when you get older, you're going to see things in a new light, in a different light." I'm here to tell you today, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, that's when you really begin to see things in a new light, because you change from a natural being looking at this world from natural eyes, and God begins to show you how to see the world from his eyes. He gives you his heart. And it says, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And when you trust Jesus as your Savior, you're going to see things in a new light. Now, this morning, I don't know how the scripture has spoken to your heart, but there may be some in here that have never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe God's been speaking to your heart, and you really wanted to, but you just haven't done it, and you're really ready. Well, this morning I'm going to be up here, and we're going to sing a song here in a moment. I'd love to have a talk with you about how you can trust Christ as your Savior, how you can become a spiritual being, how you can begin to see the world in this new light that many of us in here have experienced in our own lives. I'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been thinking about joining our church and you just haven't done it. Well, I'd love to talk to you about that this morning. Maybe you just need to come to the altar this morning and just thank God for this light that has shined in our hearts and our lives this morning. And just praise him. That'd be all right too. Just however God moves you, whatever you'd like to do this morning, let's have a word of prayer and let God begin to speak to our hearts. Randy's going to come and Karen's going to come, and they're just going to lead us in a song, give you an opportunity to respond to Christ this morning. God, this morning, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it shines the light of Jesus in our lives. And Lord, I just ask you to do whatever you want to do in our hearts and lives this morning, God. Just get us out of the way. And God, any fears that we might have about walking down this aisle, God, to realize that, Lord, you're for us and that everyone in this place is for each of us, God. I pray, God, that you'd give us courage to respond to you and however you've called us to do, God. If we just need to come to this altar this morning and thank you, Lord. But Lord, I just thank you for the way your spirit moves in our hearts and lives. I thank you for the day that you shine your light in my life. And I pray, God, that there are some in this place today that need to know you as Savior. God, give them freedom to just come. And Lord, we give these things to you. In your name I pray. Amen.